Morning. Happy Resurrection Day. And it is a beautiful day, and welcome to our Valley Brook service. It is a joy to be with you today. And I'm going to begin, as we do every week, with my wife coming in to give the announcements and the offertory prayer, and then we have a special treat for you. So God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We are looking forward to a celebration of wonder today, because it's a celebration that revolves around Him.
Good morning, Valley Brook family and friends. Good morning and welcome. It is Resurrection Sunday 2020. We want to give a special welcome to all of our first-time visitors. I'm pausing because our congregation is clapping for you right now. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us pray for you and notify you of future Valley Brook events. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab, or also on the streaming tab in our website, and we will ensure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call. The phone number and the access code are listed on our website's homepage and in today's bulletin. Offering. You may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our giving tab or via mail to our office address. Sight and sound. We have been granted an extension to pay for our tickets to watch the Queen Esther play. The new date for the funds is April the 26th. You may submit your funds on the website by clicking on the Queen Esther link that is under the giving tab. This will help with the simplicity of the funds being properly allocated. Announcement requests. If you would like to have an announcement read on the Sunday morning service or in the virtual bulletin, please reach out to Carla via email. Access to our bulletin. You may access our bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Read April 12th Bulletin. Now we'll go into our scripture reading. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Luke 24, 1 through 8. I'm giving you a few moments to look for that in your Bibles. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went out to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, raised again." Then they remembered his words. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Father God, on this Resurrection Sunday, all we have for you today, Lord, is praise and thanksgiving. For what you did for us, Father God, all we have is praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah, God. We just come wanting to thank you, Lord, for volunteering, as my husband and my pastor said on Friday, on Good Friday, for volunteering to do this for us. You chose to do it. You were not a victim. And so we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you opened the way, Lord, so that we would be able to live eternally with you, with your Father, with the Holy Spirit. But God, more than this, all more than this, God, through that so many blessings came forward, God. You decided to come here to earth, Lord, wrapped as a babe, and go through a woman's womb, spend 9 months, Lord, and be born to the world amongst us, so that we would be able to know you better, so that we would be able to relate to you, Lord, so that we would be able to have a relationship with you, Lord. We thank you for that, God. What kind of God is this that would want a relationship with us? None other but you, Jesus, a living and loving God. And we just come thanking you for it. We thank you for sharing your life in our life, and our life with your life. That's good news, God. That's exciting news. And we thank you for it, God. And on this Resurrection Day Sunday, we celebrate all the many gifts that we cannot even count, God. But we can start there. And so we say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did voluntarily. Voluntarily on that Good Friday and voluntarily on today. So God, I pray right now, Lord, that on this special day, that you take our tithes and offerings, Father God, and you go ahead and make them what you want, because this is about your purposes, your will, Father God. May you give us the wisdom to distribute them as you would see fit, as you would have them to go. And I ask, God, that we continue to grow closer to you, that now that you've granted us this grand opportunity, that we do indeed come to know you better, love one another all the more. It's all these things we pray. As I also pray, Lord, that you speak through my husband this morning to each and every one of us. Oh, we look forward to the word from you through him, God. So we look forward to it. We thank you for it because we know it's already done. We thank you. We praise you in the matchless name, the priceless name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, as you know, many times at this time, Valley Brook family, on Resurrection Sunday, Pastor Dan often would read to the children a special story. So we have something special for you today that we would like to share.
Remember the meaning, remember God's gift, remember the resurrection, may your soul uplift. Happy Easter, I hope you liked it.
May your soul uplift. Amen. Thank you, Major. Thank you, Sister Sweetheart. And again, happy Resurrection Day. I wanted to note for you, immediately following today's message, there will be a beautiful worship montage that's been put together by members of our worship team. And there's some surprise elements mixed in too that you don't want to miss, some treats for you. You don't have to go anywhere. It'll be streaming from the same place where you are. What you will have to do is when I'm done, go back out and refresh your page. Just refresh your page and then push the same arrow that you pushed to get the streaming. It'll take about a minute for that to happen, but don't give up. It will be coming to you shortly thereafter. You don't want to miss it. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. This is a special, special day. And it is a day that Christians around the world are celebrating. It is a day of eternal import. And there was a book that was written exactly 30 years ago, this year, in fact. And it's titled, All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Some of you probably read the book. It's by Robert Foljam. And it was essentially about basic truths that the author had learned in kindergarten that could translate into making him a better person as an adult. Well, in the same vein, I would write a book and title it, Everything I Ever Need is Found in the Resurrection. So that's the title of today's message for those of you who are taking notes. Everything I ever need is found in the resurrection. Everything I will ever need, I can gain from remembering Jesus Christ is risen. I watched a movie last night about the resurrection, and one of the disciples, Bartholomew, was being interrogated about what the disciples had done with the body. They assumed that they had stolen the body, and they were interrogating Bartholomew, and they asked him what happened to Jesus' body, and he said, well, we didn't steal it. He's gone. He's resurrected. And he said, this changes everything. This changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. It's all we need to know. It's all we need to say to others. And this morning, in the time that I have with you, I want to share with you why this is so. We talk about the resurrection being central. We talk about the resurrection being foundational. We talk about the resurrection being the most important event in history. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit more in detail about why that is so. First, our text, Matthew 28. Verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. I'll give you a few moments to get there. Matthew 28, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will find him. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. there they will see me. Amen. So there we have it. Dawn, an earthquake, an angel, terrified guards, two women, a heavenly announcement. He has risen from the dead. With those words spoken by the angel, with when you look at it, it seems to be a matter of factness that's almost as astonishing as the event itself. It's like he's risen. And you see, the angels knew Jesus. And part of the reason why this matter of factness might have come out of the angel's mouth is they knew Jesus, and they had no question in their minds that his word could be trusted. So if he said he was going to rise from the dead, then they said, of course he did. Of course he would. He's not here. He's risen, the angel said, just as he said. Almost matter of factly, he's not here. He's risen, just as he said. He is risen. Those three words, he is risen. Those three words are the distinguishing mark of Jesus's greatness. What makes Jesus great? Sure, he was a wonderful person. Sure, he did wonderful things. Sure, he spoke in such a way that just caused people to stop in their tracks. But other people have done that. The thing that makes Jesus distinct are those three words. He is risen. You see, when you think about it, all the so-called great people in history, they're commemorated for what they accomplished in life, what they did while they were still walking around on earth. But the true significance of the ministry of Jesus rests not only in what he did in life, but in what he did after his death. He came back to life. He is risen. Or as we love to say, he got up. He got up. No religious leader who preceded him or who has followed him since has been able to duplicate this feat. He is risen. Those three words are the foundation of our faith. Those three words are what God was up to from the very beginning of time. Those three words summarize the mystery the Apostle Paul says has been revealed. A mystery holy men and prophets and even angels throughout the ages have never been able to figure out. It's what God's been cooking up from the very beginning of time. Using all the ingredients of human history, it's the completion of the meal that he's been preparing for all of mankind. He is risen. That's what he was summing up in Christ. That's what all the rumblings of the prophets and all of the miracles of the past, everything was pointing to those three words. He is risen. You know, people will argue with different points of the Bible. But according to the historical record, Jesus Christ actually lived. He was actually executed. And a few days later, the universal cry of his followers consisted of three simple but revolutionary words. He is risen. Now these, brothers and sisters, men and women, friends joining us today, these are the historical facts. These are the historical facts, and they're fully in accord with how we assess historical fact. And they are without dispute from even the greatest of cynics. I'll say that again. They are without dispute. The facts, as I've just mentioned them, are without dispute amongst the greatest of cynics. Now, not everyone agrees that Jesus rose from the dead, but the overwhelming majority of historians agree that Jesus, that something happened. It may not have been that Jesus rose from the dead, but they overwhelmingly agree that something happened. Something happened that transformed these disciples from fearful fugitives to fearless proclaimers of a message that could get them executed, just like their Lord had been. We are forced to accept one of four explanations. The first explanation is this: the disciples were simply lying. They were simply lying. They made up the whole thing, which would mean they overpowered the Roman guard in the night. They broke the Roman seal. They rolled away the stone. They dragged the body out. They hid it and then came out saying Jesus was alive at their own peril. Now, that's highly improbable for these terrified disciples. But beyond that, why would they risk their lives for what they knew to be a lie? See, it's one thing to believe a lie and die for it. It's another thing to die for a lie that you know is a lie. Highly unlikely. The second possibility that we're forced to consider, the second explanation, perhaps someone told them a lie and they believed it. What if somebody lied and was such a great liar that they convinced the disciples and they just believed it on the basis of what they've been told? The problem with this option is they weren't going around proclaiming what someone told them. They were talking about what they had seen with their own eyes. They weren't describing what happened as a matter of faith, something that they just chose to believe in. They weren't describing it as a matter of faith. They were describing it as a matter of fact. We saw him. We touched him. We held him. We beheld him. So they were speaking not as theologians, and they weren't speaking as religious figures or religious leaders. They were speaking as eyewitnesses. So someone telling them a lie, that explanation doesn't work too well either. Here's the third one. Maybe they were imagining things. Maybe they thought they saw Jesus, but he was somebody else. Or maybe they were so overcome with grief that they just hallucinated. They were all hallucinating at the same time with the same hallucination. See, the problem with that is the hallucination would have had to have been a recurring one over a period of 40 days, because Jesus showed himself to be alive and resurrected over a period of 40 days. And at one point, 500 people saw Jesus at one time. 500 saw him alive. Now that's some hallucination. That's an unprecedented hallucination. And therefore, we have to put that in the highly unlikely category as well. So that only leaves us one option. They were telling the truth. As fantastic as it may seem, it's the only thing that fits. They were telling the truth. When you consider the other options, you can see why it requires, and you've heard us say this sometimes, you've heard Christians say, it requires more faith to believe that he didn't rise from the dead than it does to believe that he did. And that's because we have to look at the alternatives, and when you really study the alternatives, they just fall apart. They don't make any sense. You know, one of the first things one notices when they enter our church, when they enter Valley Brook, First thing that they notice, besides our friendly ushers, besides Sister Hat sitting there beaming and smiling, and Brother Jim saying, how you doing, and Don wanting to give people a hug, you know, we really did have to shut down the church when they started recommending social distancing, because I cannot even imagine our ushers standing 6 feet away or 27 feet away and nodding at people as they come in. That just wasn't going to work. So we had to get ahead of the curve. We had to go remote. The moment they said social distancing, Valley Brook was doomed. But God is using our doom, isn't he, brothers and sisters? But what I was going to say is, one of the first things that you notice when you enter our church, besides our friendly ushers, is a poster on the wall that contains the many names of Jesus, as recorded in the scriptures, like Prince of Peace, or King of Kings, Lion of Judah. My favorite name for the Lord, and I speak to him this way in my own personal devotions, this is how I address him. I mean, I will say Abba, Father, and affectionate terms like that, but the most relevant and potent and inspiring term that I have for the Lord is listed in Revelation, and it is the Living One. Thank you, Jesus. I am the Living One. And that's why I love Resurrection Sunday, because it's all about He lives. That's what this day is all about. He lives. And I guess it's my favorite because all of the other magnificent names that describe Jesus, all the wonderful adjectives that are used to try to capture His glory, they mean absolutely nothing if they're attached to a mythical, fictitious being. Because that's what Christianity becomes without the resurrection, without Jesus being the Living One. Christianity is just a fantasy. It's just a philosophy. It's just a way of life. But the Living One, He is risen. That makes all the difference in the world. Because, see, if He's the Living One, all the other descriptors have real life significance. They mean something in my life, not just as an inspiration. There's an active working that's taking place in my life because the Living One lives. They have real life impact. See, if He's alive, I can see the Wonderful Counselor, as the Bible calls him. I can see the Wonderful Counselor's work in my own life. When I don't know what to do, I experience the Wonderful Counselor because He's alive. If He's alive, I can experience the living water that the Bible calls him when my soul is thirsty. If He's alive, I can taste the bread of life when my soul is hungry. If He's alive, I can know the truth, because He is the truth, when the world around me is telling me lies about itself, or telling me lies about myself and who I am. If He's alive, I can be led by the Good Shepherd when I feel lost. So that's why the Living One makes all of this relevant. All the marvelous things we read about Jesus in the Gospels are inspiring, but so are fairy tales. They're not about real people, but they're inspiring anyway. The Gospel accounts and even our own testimonials about our experiences of God are inspiring because they are attached to the Living One. He is risen, the resurrected Christ. So, what does this tell us that makes the resurrection all we need to know? Because that's how I started out, saying that the resurrection is all we need to know. Several things. Because He is risen, there is life after death. That is one of the things that we recognize, or that we experience, or that we can confidently trust in. Because He is risen, there is life after death. 2 Corinthians 4:14 puts it this way. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Isn't that great? All of us together being presented in the presence of the Lord. You know, Laverne was rejoicing yesterday. She was just rejoicing over how much joy and how much encouragement we're receiving from one another through various means during this strange and uncertain time, that, you know, the songs that are being sung and the verses that are being shared and all the encouragement that's passing around. She was just delighting and rejoicing in the Lord that we're able to do this for one another, even though we're not able to get together and be together as we would like. She said, it's going to be so sad when we begin to see people in our circle, when we begin to see people we love part from this life. And she said, but what a party it's going to be when we are reunited. And boy, won't that be something? Won't that be something? I mean, some of us have commented about our contact with one another through the social media. Many of us are using Marco Polos, but there's text messages, phone calls, drop-in, surprises, all kinds of things going on. And without exception, you hear people saying, boy, I miss you all, and it'll be great to see you all. It'll be so great when we can all get back together. You know, this is sort of like us being away from each other on this planet and the reunion that will take place in heaven. That's sort of, this time is like a metaphor for that. We're separated, we're together, but one day we're going to all be together. And as Paul said, we're going to all be presented together in his presence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a glorious day that's going to be. So that Jesus rose from the dead proves that there is life after death, that when you're dead, you're not done, as some say, that you don't just go into an eternal sleep. No, there is life beyond this life because Jesus rose from the dead. So this is one thing that it speaks to us. The second thing as to why it's everything we need, it authenticates Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. It authenticates Jesus. As I said in the beginning, those three words distinguish Jesus from every other person in history who has claimed to have the way or to know the way or be able to point us to the way. Jesus said, I am the way. And it's the resurrection that marks Jesus as the Son of God. Take away the resurrection, and Christianity joins the ranks of the myriads of religions and philosophies that have marched through the ages. But because of the resurrection, Christ stands alone, bearing the seal of authenticity, not from men, not because of what people say about him, but from God himself. According to Romans 1:4, this is what it says. Jesus was declared with power to be God's solution to man's problem by his resurrection from the dead. And before his death, he himself said that his resurrection would be the ultimate authenticator. He made a lot of astonishing claims in his life about himself, Jesus did. And naturally, his opponents asked him to prove it. And Jesus' response was this: destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. That's my authority. That's why I can say what I say. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm not afraid of you all. That's where my authority comes from. I know who I am. And 3 days after I am crucified, the world will know who I am because I will come back. I will get up, and he did, and he is risen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. He was referring to his resurrection, the miracles, the teaching, the blameless life, the way he died, ultimately his resurrection. All of these things make Jesus a fully credentialed Messiah, not a fake Messiah, not a faux Messiah, not Messiah light, but the real deal. The fact that he performed these astonishing miracles that left his enemies jaw dropped. The fact that he taught in such a way as to be spellbinding to the crowd that was listening to him. The blameless life that he lived, so blameless that he was even able to say to his enemies, which one of you accuses me? Which one of you can point out that I have sinned in any way? He said this to his enemies. Who can convict me of sin? I haven't sinned all my life. And even that wasn't enough. What he said would be enough is, I'm coming back. That makes him a fully credentialed Messiah. The third thing, the third reason why the resurrection is all that we need, is that it is the receipt for our forgiveness. It is the receipt for our forgiveness. As I said on Friday night, Good Friday commemorates Christ making the payment for our sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. God crushed him as a sin offering. He bore the sins of all the world on his body, and he took the punishment that we deserved. He voluntarily did that for the joy set before him, the scripture says. And that joy was his fellowship with us. The joy set before him wasn't some reward in heaven that God was going to give him. He had all of that before he came. He owned all of that. What he didn't have was a relationship with us, because we were separated from God. And so for the joy set before him, the prospect of being united with you and I forever, for that reason, he volunteered to come to earth to be crushed and to die for us. So the death on the cross on Good Friday was his payment for our sin. The resurrection is different. The resurrection is different. The resurrection is our receipt. The resurrection says God accepted his payment. The resurrection says that, yeah, it worked. It took. The payment went through. If his death was the debit card charging our sins to his account, the resurrection was that nice little sign that comes up on the little card reader that says approved. That's what the resurrection is. The credit card was Jesus charging our sins to his account. And the message on there, approved, is the resurrection. God raised him from the dead saying, I approve the payment. And so our sins are now not just covered, they've been removed. As far as the east is from the west, we are spotless and blameless because of the resurrection. It says in Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I like what Watchman Nee said. He said, our old history ends with the cross. Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. And here is the fourth thing, and the fourth reason, and I think probably the most meaningful reason for me at this point, practically speaking. It means we get to spend every day with the living Christ. Right now, right here, in this body, on this earth, Jesus rising from the dead means that we get to spend every day with the living Christ. As he said, as he was departing this earth and ascending to heaven, as he said to his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And when the age ends, we'll be with him forever. See, he'll be with us, but we'll be with him at the end of the age. We'll see him face to face. We get to spend every day of our lives with the living Christ. 1 John 5:20 says this, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his son, Jesus Christ. He's the true God and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding so that we may know you right now, here and now, not later, not when we get to heaven, here and now. The best thing about today is I get to spend it with you. This morning, Laverne and I were praying, and Laverne got carried away. The Lord carried her away, and she was praying from a place of deep and abiding joy that surprised her, surprised me. It was unexpected. It was unplanned. And boy, but it was so real and it was so profound. And we were so thankful about it. But she was praying this morning and she said, Lord, every day, every day is a great getting up morning with you. Isn't that great? Every day is a great getting up morning with you. With you in our lives, Lord, every day is a great getting up morning. Whether it's 6 a.m., whether we wake up at 6 a.m. or whether it's 1 p.m. or whether it's 9 p.m. when we're putting the kids to bed, every day is a great getting up morning with you because he is always with us. You know, a friend of our daughter, who is not a believer, my wife was telling me about this morning too, a friend of our daughter who was not a believer asked our daughter why she believed in all this Jesus stuff. And the girl went on and said, so what if you die and go to heaven and there's nothing there? Laverne said, both she and Falabi were just laughing hard about that because it's a strange question. I mean, what if you die and go to heaven and there's nothing there? It's a strange question. I mean, you would think that it would be, what if you die and there is no heaven? But that's not what she asked. But the strangeness of the question notwithstanding, imagine dying and waking up in heaven and there's nothing there. No opulence, no golden street, no all the things that the book of Revelation and other places tell us about the decor of heaven, if you will. What her friend didn't understand, and frankly, what many Christians do not understand, is the best thing about heaven is not its surroundings. The best thing about heaven is the Savior. The best thing about heaven is Jesus. Think about this with me for a moment. With all of heaven's splendor, all that the Bible describes heaven is, which is going to be glorious, it's going to be jaw-dropping, it's going to be mind-boggling, we won't be able to get our arms around it, we won't be able to fully take it in. But with all of heaven's splendor, without Jesus, we would eventually be as bored in heaven as we can be on earth. Why is that? Because life is not in the stuff. Life is not even in heaven's stuff. Life is not in any stuff. Life is in Jesus. Jesus is eternal life, the scripture says. This is eternal life, John 17:3 says. I remind you that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. Jesus said, I am the life. He himself is the satisfaction our souls seek. He is the fullness we long for deep inside. So if Jesus himself is eternal life, we don't need to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy eternal life. Not if he is with us always, starting now. We can enjoy the eternal life that is ours now, right here on earth. And the scripture says, we have eternal life right now. He who hears my word, Jesus said, and believes him who sent me, in John chapter 5:24, has eternal life, present tense, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So if the best thing in heaven is Jesus, the best thing on earth is Jesus. And that is why we have everything we need. Our prayers, our faith is not in vain. Because the same Jesus that we read about in the scripture, the same marvelous, fantastic, compassionate, loving, wise, all-powerful, witty, creative Jesus is as alive today as he was when he first appeared to his disciples on that very first Easter morning. By faith, we belong to him, not to Satan, not to the world. We belong to him. We're loved by him immeasurably and eternally. And we're called as saints, holy ones, set apart for his purposes. Our faith doesn't rest on emotions. Our faith doesn't rest on rituals or on superstitions, but on the simple but amazing truth that he is risen. I'm winding down. But I have a question for you. Some of you are tuning in. Some of you are streaming from places other than our Valley Brook Church family community. You're not necessarily a member of Valley Brook, and I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. But I have a question for you. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? It is the most important question each and every human being will have to answer. How we answer this question determines what we do with Jesus, whether we dismiss him as folklore, dismiss him as a liar, dismiss him as a myth, or whether we embrace him as our Savior. What we do with Jesus determines our eternity. To persuade us all to trust in him, Jesus went out of his way to establish impeccable credentials to authenticate his identity as God's Messiah. There are hundreds of biblical prophecies that he fulfilled. He performed astonishing miracles. He lived a sinless life. The stunning integrity of his teachings, and most of all, his resurrection from the dead. What more could he possibly have done to win the trust of people living then and those of us living now? Let me explain. Christians are not people who are more worthy of a relationship with the Lord than anyone else. None of us are worthy. Christians aren't people who have, by the force of their moral integrity and the force of their moral discipline and their moral goodness, have earned the right to eternal life. None of us are worthy. Christians are just people who have said yes to what Jesus is offering everybody. Christians are only people who have said yes to what Jesus is offering everybody, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how long you've been out of the church, whether you've ever been in a church, Jesus is offering the same thing to you that he has offered to every man or woman who has ever lived on this planet. Christians aren't people who are worthy. Christians are people who have said yes. What is he offering? What is he offering? He said this: whoever believes in me, whoever trusts me for forgiveness of sins and for new life within, the kind of life that I've been talking about, the kind of life I've been describing, whoever trusts me for forgiveness of sins and new life within has eternal life. The moment you trust him is the moment you have eternal life. How do you put your trust in Him? All you need, hear me please, all you need is one word. Yes. That's all you need. Yes. You don't need a whole bunch of rituals. You don't need to be in a church. You don't need to have some special person with you. You don't have to have a litany or a liturgy that you are reading. You don't have to soak in the river. You don't have to do anything except say yes to what He is offering. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. And you can join me in that prayer if you want to say yes to Christ. See, the magic words, however, will not be in my prayer. The magic words are in your yes. Your yes is called faith. See, faith in Christ can sometimes sound so imposing and so mystical and so religious. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is simply saying yes to Christ. That's all He wants is your yes. And the way you would say yes, how do you say yes? Say yes the same way you would say yes to someone who offered you a free around the world excursion. In safe times, that is. Probably today you'd say, oh no, I'm not taking that. But in a time when things are safe, how would you say yes to someone who offered you a worldwide excursion? You'd say it jumping up and down. You'd say yes. You'd say, what's the catch? But your heart would be, yes. Well, that's all Jesus wants, is a heart that hears what He's offering, sees the opportunity, and wants it, and says yes. So I want you to join me now in prayer. I'd like everyone out there to just join me in prayer. And if this prayer expresses your yes, you can be certain that you have eternal life. Lord, thank You. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for Your offer of eternal life by trusting in You. My heart says yes in this moment. I want You in my life. Amen. That's it. If that was your prayer, more important, if that was your heart, if that was your yes, welcome to the family of God. He heard you, and as He promised, He would come into you the moment you said yes to Him. He has done so. So what I would like you to do is, if that was your prayer, and let me tell you, if it was, all of heaven is cheering for you. We're cheering for you. You don't know what you've gotten yourself into, but we do. And we are cheering and praising God for that. But if that was your prayer, send me a note letting me know of your decision. Send it to PastorDan@ValleyBrook.Church. PastorDan@ValleyBrook.Church. Or leave a message for me on our website, ValleyBrook.Church. I'd like to send you a booklet that will give further information about the gift that you have just received. Everything we ever need is in the resurrection. Everything we ever need is in the resurrection, because He is risen. And because He is risen, He is with us always, even to the end of the age. Thank you for sharing this resurrection morning with us. It has been a true blessing to be able to share with you. And let's bow our heads for our benediction. Now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say amen and amen. Don't forget, the worship montage will follow in about a minute, and all you need to do is refresh your page and push the arrow again, and it'll be starting in about a minute. Don't go away. It may be a minute or two, but it's coming. God bless you all. Have a fabulous rest of the day.